Okay, welcome back. Last time we talked about the key to interpersonal relationships, and I want to follow up with that discussion and continue on with some of God's Word to support this. Now, Matthew 22:38, of course, has the words of Jesus and the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment that we have been given as Christians is to love the Lord God with all of your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes I think that we forget about the as yourself part, right? And then another one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And of course, we talked earlier about really keeping our focus on the Lord, and some of these other things will then fall into place in the right way. Now, I do want to talk about singleness because, again, I think that we're missing that first building block. And by focusing so heavily on encouraging and pressuring people to get married or treating them like they're weird or strange or something's wrong with them if they're not married or not pursuing that is a really big mistake. Marriage is not for everyone. Singleness is a perfectly legitimate choice, number one. Number two, every single one of us needs to master singleness before we can get married. And here's the third point. Even when we do get married, it is imperative that we stay single. And what I mean by that is that even if we are married, we are still unique, whole, and separate individuals. And that's what we meant in the bullet point on one of the previous slides, is that God loves our uniqueness and wants us to hold on to our uniqueness, even in unity. You are not 50% of a couple. You are not half of a whole. You are a whole human being, always. So it's very important, I think, that we hold on to that. And of course, there are plenty of stories that you're all familiar with on even just a small scale. The person who gets into a relationship and their friends don't hear from them until there's a problem, or they get into their first fight, and then months or weeks or years later, they show up and their friends are like, you know, we haven't even seen you. You've totally abandoned us. So that's not something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hold on to our uniqueness and our separateness. So singleness. Our pursuit in life should not be marriage, but singleness. Singleness is defined as whole, separate, and unique. Now, here's another thing that's interesting. There's some misconceptions about, you know, women praying for their husbands who aren't saved and, you know, somehow they will be, or, you know, and being part of this group that there might be certain advantages. God doesn't save groups. God saves individuals, right? So it's very important that you are concerned about yourself, because if you're not, who is going to be, right? So God does not save groups. Even when Billy Graham would have a big conference and save a million people, those million people all had to get up individually and walk out of their seats to the front row, right? And individually confess their acceptance of the Lord. So now here's the next one. If I could give you some dating advice, when you are preoccupied with God's purpose for your life, when you're preoccupied with your gifts and developing your gifts and having a vision for the future and a plan and a purpose, it is magnetic. Whole people attract other whole people. So you can't be half of a self looking for parts of yourself in somebody else. You're never going to find them. So being preoccupied with God's purpose for your life is absolutely magnetic. That is chemistry and attraction that is not biochemical, that is real. Okay. Another thing that we're facing is that people want a garden experience outside of a garden system. So you're going to talk to a lot of people who really want that marriage that's going to last. They want the relationship that's going to lead to marriage. They want to get engaged. They want to get married. They want to have children and a family together and stay together for the rest of their lives, right? But you cannot have the garden experience outside of the garden system. And so even in the Christian community and even in the church, there are still certainly, I don't want to say majority, and we do have students who are all over the world, but I know in America that, you know, people don't want to wait until they get married to have sex, right? They don't want to follow some of the certain guidelines that God has put in place for us for a healthy, happy relationship. So the problem with that is you've got a lot of, and I'm going to say women, it happens to men too, but more so to women, where you have women who are looking for a man outside of the garden, trying to drag him back into the garden. And that does not work. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get into vision today. We can get into the topic of vision another day. But when we talked earlier about the man being the source, actually we do have that coming up. When we talked earlier about the man being the man is not the source of, when we reduced it to biology, not the source of the sperm, or when we took it out from there, the source of, you know, some material, physical, financial thing. He's also the source of the vision. And this is extremely important. Men don't change their vision. Now, you could find a man who is conflicted about his own vision for his life. Then you have a problem because you have a man who has, who doesn't know his God-given gifts, talent, and vision, right? So he's always struggling. He's never going to succeed in whatever it is that he's trying to do because he's so far out of alignment from his purpose. But here you've got a man with two visions happening in his life. Right, but maybe you do. You're lucky enough to find a man who does have a vision. And so, as a woman, you come alongside him as the multiplier, the incubator, and the multiplier, right, to multiply his vision. But what happens when you have two visions? You have division, right? The preface for DI two. You have two visions. You have division. So I think that's a really important point. So when you are going to find a man outside of the garden, he has a completely different vision for what he's looking for in a relationship. Is he looking for a commitment? Is he looking for marriage? Is he looking to have a family and have kids? Is he just looking for one of the five types of secular relationships that we talked about? You can't take a man and bring him into the garden and change his vision. You have division right off the bat, right? And so men don't change their visions to adapt to women's visions. It's not part of their purpose, their design, or their nature. I'm not saying a woman can't have a vision for her own life. She can, and she should. But what I'm saying is she's not going to change whatever a man's vision is for his own life and the vision that he has for a relationship and its place in his life. So you want to find a man who has the vision of a garden experience within a garden system. That's what we're looking for, and now we have the tools to evaluate that, right? Okay, so we talked about affirming the calling of singleness. Loneliness is not a call to marriage, and there are plenty of people who are lonely and married. In fact, there is nothing more lonely than being married and being unhappy and trapped and in a household where you're sleeping back to back, where you're passing each other in the hallway and you're not even speaking to each other, right? That is true loneliness. So marriage is not a solution for loneliness. Do not pressure singles to marry. So if you're functioning as a matchmaker, you are not going to approach people and pressure them to get married and why can't I help you? Right? You're going to have them come to you. And then we're going to talk a little bit later about the 5-week coaching program and process that you go through with someone to evaluate if they're even ready for that. Right? Because they might need some other mentoring and coaching prior to that so that they can be ready. And you will be in a position to give that to them as well. Okay. Now, never prophesy a mate. Again, God does not pick people's mates. People do. God can present candidates, but people do the choosing. And so, therefore, also in being a matchmaker and providing matchmaking services to people, you can present someone to them, but do not ever prophesy that this is who they are meant to be with. Now, the only people that God ever puts together are two people with the Holy Spirit within them, right? I'm not saying that he chose them, but if he blesses them being together, this is two people with the Holy Spirit within them. Everyone else, man marries, right? So if you have two people choosing to be together, coming together before God, God's blessing that because there's a Holy Spirit within the two of them, right? And we have another interesting class and conversation that we can get into about divorce and the difference between Moses and Jesus. And it's a really interesting topic. So I hope that we'll be able to do that as a class sometime. Now, love doesn't keep marriage together. Singleness keeps marriage together, right? The other thing that keeps marriage together is, again, not love, but knowledge. So we talked earlier about going to get a driver's license, and you have to read a book, and you've got to take a test and practice and study before you can even earn that driver's license. And really the same thing should also be true for our relationships and our marriages, that we're really investing some time into knowing God's word and gaining knowledge about how to have a relationship. How do you react when somebody is angry with you? How do you react in a conflict situation? How do you react when you both have a different opinion about what you should do on an important topic? How do you negotiate a solution to that? There are so many interpersonal dynamics and communication dynamics that happen within relationships that we need to have our relationships resting on a solid foundation of biblical principles and have the skills to deal with human conflict. And what's so wonderful for us is the Bible is a book about relationships. It starts with God's relationship with us. And the entire rest of the book is about our relationships with Him and with each other and trying to figure those out. So there are plenty of examples of not just the right thing to do, but the wrong things to do and how that turns out, right? Okay, and we already talked about the omelet. Okay, so making Eve. Adam was totally whole when God made Eve, and God took Eve out of him. And we already talked about this. God didn't say it's good for this man to... it's not good for this man to be single. He just said it's not good for him to be alone. Adam was totally consumed with his purpose, and he was so busy doing that that God had to put him to sleep. And again, God presented Eve, and that is our role as matchmakers and mentors and coaches, presenting options. And Eve was a helper, so she was complementary, suitable, a compliment to him, but she was also complimented by him. Let's not forget that.